committed fornication.
Fornication is sexual sin. But you know what? When you wait till marriage and you're in the covenant bond of marriage, it's no longer sin. It's a beautiful thing. God designed it to be loving and beautiful and wonderful. But outside the marriage bond, it's fornication. And you can mark it down, as we saw in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, that our sin will find us out. We know, dear brethren, that there's going to be consequences. From 2 Samuel, we saw that last week, and I want to bring it up again. I don't think we can stress it too much. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 7. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 7, he says, you know what the story is. Nathan is down here and told the pitiful little story. And David said, well, that man ought to die. And Nathan said, well, you're the man. And it smote him. The word of God was used. And the word of God, because David loved God, because he was a man after God's own heart, the word of God had an influence. And if you love God this morning, the word of God is going to have an influence in your heart. It's going to convict you. It's going to convict me. It's going to bring us to that place where we want to confess our sin to God and get right with Him and turn back to the Lord. Well, David did. And he said, I have sinned. And the Lord said, yes, and I've forgiven your sin. But look at this verse 10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. So God forgave the sin. But look, the consequences were long lasting. The sword shall never depart from thine house. There was constant conflict and struggle and battles. We don't need that. We've got them enough just trying to dwell together in love and harmony without bringing all this other in here because of our sins. Wouldn't you agree? And so, my dear brethren, I tell you, it behooves us to honor the word of Christ and to live in such a way that we honor that bond of marriage and not commit fornication, because God says, if you do, you can mark it down that somewhere down the road, the consequences of sin will catch up to you. It may come in the marriage relationship. I've seen and heard how it does. It goes to the whole issue of trust. It goes to the whole issue of love. If you really loved me, why did you pressure me to do that? And so you have problems down the road because of this very thing. It's not worth it. And I just want to encourage you young people this morning. You do it God's way. And you'll never have to regret anything. And you'll be able to go through life bonded together with a strong and mighty bond because you did it God's way. Amen. Well, you know, we need a wonderful connection to Jesus Christ. In the relationship we have with Him. And as we saw last week, how that John chapter 14 tells us, John 14 and verse 15, Jesus says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. How do I prove my love to Jesus? By keeping His commandments. That's how I prove my love. That's how you prove your love to Jesus Christ, by keeping his commandments, by honoring his word, by trying to live under the authority of that word. I need a loving obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his word. That's exactly what Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. He says, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." All them that obey him. That is the seal, the bond of our love covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, is my loving obedience to his word and following him and how he's commanded us to do. We need a wonderful connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember being in Alabama visiting some church people on their property out there where they had some cows and they had an electric fence. And so I was going to climb under the fence, and I grabbed this part, it was okay. And then I grabbed this part, and brother, they grabbed me then. I had a wonderful connection. It knocked me to the ground. And I tell you, that's a kind of connection we need with the Lord Jesus Christ, is that it's surging through me as that electricity was surging through my body. I felt the power of Jesus Christ surging through my body. That's the kind of connection that we need in our relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't get any closer than that, brother, when you are just kind of knocked down because of the great power and love of Jesus Christ. It changes your life. It messes with your mind. It makes you want to be a different person for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We need that wonderful connection. Hallelujah. Well, Paul wrote to the Ephesians saints, and he said in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1, he says, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's what characterized our life before new life came. Children of disobedience. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Do you know there was a time in my life, as a young rebel to all authority, rebelled against my parental authority at school and the government and the military. I hated all authority, and I did not want Jesus Christ to rule over my life, and I did not want to be in submission to his word. Y'all ever been there before? Yeah. Rebels. But I tell you, I thank God this morning for Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 that says, "But God." Amen. But God. I tell you, he changed the whole scene. He changed the heart. He changed the mind. He changed the attitude. And I remember going to my dad and telling him, as a 22-year-old young man whose life had just been turned upside down by the living God, "Daddy, I thank you, Lord. I'm sorry for all the times that I was disobedient to you. Daddy, I'm sorry for all the things that I've said to you and the attitude that I've had. And I thank him for all the spankings that he gave me." And I told him, I remember this as clearly as it was yesterday, standing in that house there in Parrish, Arkansas, that we were remodeling as a church building before it burned down. I said, "Daddy, I wish you'd spanked me more." I wish you'd spanked me more. Boys and girls, there will come a time in your life when you'll look back on all the spankings that mom and daddy gave you. And because of the work of grace in your heart, you'll be able to say, man, they loved me. They loved me. If they didn't love me, they wouldn't try to have corrected me in the ways of the Lord. They loved me, and I wish they had corrected me more, because now I want to be this young person. I want to be this young man. I want to be this young lady for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to start out in a pathway that my parents have already blazed for me and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you right now, young people, the path of disobedience is full of broken bones and pain and misery. In that Psalm 51, we find what the Psalms has said. This is after his sins with David. David's sins as he committed with Bathsheba and her husband Uriah. It says in Psalm 51 and verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which, what's the word? Thou hast broken may rejoice. Who broke his bones? God broke his bones. Now, I don't think that was in a literal sense where God said, here, give me that arm, crack. No, I don't think he's talking about literally broken bones. It's talking about in a spiritual sense. He says, I was just broken. I was in pain. I was in misery. And that's the way sin is going to be in our life all the time. We're going to experience broken bones and pain and misery in the way of sin. Psalm 32. He says in verse 3, when I kept silence, my bones, there it is again, bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. That roaring means moaning. I just went around moaning. I was in pain. I was in misery. The path of disobedience is going to be full of broken bones and misery and pain. Nothing is pleasant about it. My strength failed, he said. Verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. It's like God's hand was just pressing him down and he couldn't hardly move. Your hand lay heavily upon me. That's the path of disobedience. But I want to tell you something about the path of obedience. It's a glorious place to be. You go back and look at that Psalm 51:8 that we just read a moment ago, and now let's look at it in a different angle. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may, what's the word? Rejoice. Have you ever heard of bones rejoicing? Rejoicing bones. That's what David's saying. He said, I want my bones to rejoice. And the only way that my bones can rejoice is in the path where I've confessed my sins and I've repented of that sin. And now, Lord, I'm coming back to you in obedience to your word. And my bones are listening to when you speak joy and gladness to my soul again. And my bones can rejoice. Verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There's joy in the path of obedience. There is peace in the path of obedience. There is blessedness in the path of obedience. There's rejoicing bones in the path of obedience. But when I go my own way and I turn up my nose at what God has said, brother, I can mark it down. Instead of having rejoicing bones, they're going to be moaning all day long because His hand is heavy upon me. And all my moisture's dried up and my strength fails me. And I'm in pain and misery in a spiritual sense because I'm far away from my Heavenly Father. So, my dear brethren, it behooves us to bring our life under the word of the living God and say, Lord, here I am, search me, judge me, change me, mold me. Give me that love for your word that it may be what guides me and is the authority to command me in every aspect of my life.